Louis and the Duke, ending this week's Jazz Record Requests with me, Alan Shipton. And now, here's Claire Martin with Jazz Lineup.
Hello, a double birthday celebration on today's show. I'll be marking vocalist-composer Robert Wyatt's 70th and Tubby Hayes' 80th. Multi-instrumentalist Edward Brian Tubby Hayes, born on the 30th of January, 80 years ago this month. And more sounds from Tubby later on in the programme. Also on today's edition of Jazz Lineup, concert music from award-winning vocalist Christine Tobin and her band, recorded at last year's London Jazz Festival. Plus, I'll be paying tribute to another birthday boy, Robert Wyatt, who turns 70 next week on January the 28th. But first up, something from gifted jazz vocalist Polly Gibbons, who has a new release out, recorded in LA with an all-star American band. Polly's been snapped up by celebrated producer and record label boss George Klabin, and her new release, The Many Faces of Love, presents songs about familiar aspects of love and kicks off with this great arrangement of Percy Mayfield's Please Send Me Someone to Love.
Heaven, please send to all mankind understand and peace of mind. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love, someone to love. Show the world how to get along. Peace will enter when hate is gone. But if it's not asking too much, send me someone to love. I lie awake nights and ponder the world's troubles, and my answer is always the same, that unless man puts an end to this damnable sin, hate will put the world into flames. Just because I'm in misery, no sympathy. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love. Please send me someone to love.
Polly Gibbons with Please Send Me Someone to Love, taken from her new release out on the Resonance label called The Many Faces of Love. And that's a double treat, as there's a live DVD with the CD recorded from a recent concert in LA with a special guest appearance by the pianist James Pearson. With the label Jazz on Film as a new release out, which shines a light on a whole forgotten genre of European jazz. Jazz in Polish Cinema, subtitled Out of the Underground 1958 to 1967, celebrates the thriving jazz scene that was happening in Poland despite the communist authorities' disapproval. These unissued classic jazz film soundtracks were for many years thought of as lost, and the whole box set comes with an 80-page booklet examining in depth a fascinating and significant period of Polish history, written by the brilliant jazzwise writer Selwyn Harris. Let's hear Kalatowki 59 by legendary Polish composer and pianist Andrzej Traskowski. Taken from the album Jazz in Polish Cinema, that was Kalatowki 59 by Andrzej Traskowski. And that very fine 4D box set is out now. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, coming up later on the show, I'll be celebrating vocalist-composer Robert Wyatt's birthday with Kevin Lejeune, who's picked Wyatt's classic album Rock Bottom as part of this month's Now's the Time. But to whet your appetite, here's Robert singing the lyrics of Elvis Costello, and it was a hit from 1982, written during the Falklands War. This is Shipbuilding. Mm-hmm.
bicycle on the boy's birthday. It's just a rumour that was spread around town by the women and children. Soon we'll be shipbuilding. Well, I ask you, the boy said that they're going to take me to task, but I'll be back by Christmas. It's just a rumour that was spread around town. Somebody said that someone got filled in for saying that people get killed in the result of the shipbuilding. With all the will in the world, diving for dear life, when we could be diving. Just a rumor that was spread around town, a telegram or a picture postcard. Within weeks they'll be reopening the shipyard and notifying the next of kin once again. It's always good.
Shipbuilding by Clive Langer and Elvis Costello, and sung there by Robert Wyatt. There'll be more music featuring Robert Wyatt from his classic 1974 album Rock Bottom coming up later on in the programme. Well, The Gate is the debut album from bassist and composer Phil Donkin, who's one of the busiest musicians on the scene today. And he's worked with the likes of Kenny Wheeler, John Abercrombie and Kurt Rosenwinkel. The 10 original compositions show Phil's wit and intelligence as a writer, as well as his extraordinary depth and maturity. I've chosen one of the swing tracks called Make and Groove, named after the street in Brooklyn where Phil lived for many years, and it perfectly showcases all the musicians brilliantly. Here is Phil on bass with saxophonist Ben Wendell, drummer Jochen Rohert and pianist Glenn Zaleski. Let's hear it, Make and Groove. Thank you. Bassist Phil Donkin there with Make and Groove, taken from his debut album released on the Whirlwind Recordings label. And Phil will be touring in March and kicks off at the Sound Cellar in Poole on the 3rd. The album launches at the Pizza Express in Soho in London on the 10th of March, and then they finish their tour at the marvellous Wakefield Jazz Club on the 13th. For more details of Phil's tour dates, go to the Jazz Lineup page on the Radio 3 website. Well, it's time now for our regular feature, Now's the Time, with our very own Kevin LeGenre. And on today's Now the Time, we're celebrating not only a long-lost classic album, but also an artist who turned 70 later this month, Robert Elledge, otherwise known as Robert Wyatt, born on January the 28th, 1945. Well, before you tell us why you picked this album, Kevin, perhaps you can give us a brief potted history of Robert Wyatt's career.
Well, he's one of the great original artists to have emerged in this country in the last 40 years or so. The key group with which he's associated is Soft Machine, where he was the drummer, one of the great, really pioneering groups that blended jazz, rock, classical music. For want of a better term, they contributed to the fusion movement. He was a major figure in the Canterbury music scene as well, worked with people like Hugh Hopper, Mike Ratledge in Soft Machine, also had this very interesting group called Matching Mole, and then embarked upon a solo career. So that was the early 70s. I think in 1970 he recorded his first solo album, The End of an Ear. And then I suppose that title as well, just very quickly, it sums up a lot of Robert Wyatt's personality, The End of an Ear, the kind of salty humour that you have in there instead of The End of an Era, The End of an Ear. And I think that's a key part of his whole aesthetic, combining humour with a seriousness as well. And that gives him a real power as an artist.
So what's the first track we're going to hear?
Well, the first track that we're going to hear from the album Rock Bottom, which was recorded in 1974, is Sea Song.
Right.
Which I think is a very, very beautiful atmospheric piece. And again, if we're looking at ways of summing up Robert Wyatt as an artist, I think he's one of the great creators of atmosphere in music. Mm. And this whole album is about creating a very, very mysterious, kind of dark light atmosphere where you feel it's very heavy at times. We'll talk about some of those themes that he's dealing with. Yet,
sure.
At the same time, there's a lightness to it as well. So there's a kind of paradox there which really works. And he said of this song, this is the first real love song to Alfie, his wife. Mm. And it's very poignant, as you'll hear in the lyrics. But if you just imagine this as a love song, but a different kind of love song, not the sort of love song you'd expect to hear, then I think that really nails it.
They actually got married on the day this album was released.
Absolutely.
I thought that was really romantic. So let's hear it then, Robert Wyatt, and the first song from the album Rock Bottom that we're talking about, and it's Sea Song.
Thank you. starfish that drift in with the tide, with the tide. So until your blood runs to meet the next full moon, your madness fits in nicely with my own, with my own. Your lunacy fits neatly with my own, my very own.
Sea Song from the album Rock Bottom by Robert Wyatt. Well, Kevin Wyatt has denied that the material on this album was a direct result of his accident and the long period of recuperation. But then, nevertheless, this music is intense and it's often harrowing, and the lyrics are obviously very deeply personal. Let's talk about his accident, because that was really a quite a key moment in anyone's life,
He fell from a window, broke his spine, lost the use of his legs, which obviously for a drummer is incredibly traumatic. Mm. But here's a very, very interesting quote from Robert Wyatt himself. The loss of my legs might give me a new kind of freedom.
Mm.
And I think when there's a constraint that's placed upon you, you can find new ways of getting around
sure,
that. It can actually liberate you. It can bring something else out of you. And I think for him, the fact that he had this disability basically made him rethink how he was going to approach music, not being able to drum as he could drum before, not being able to lead a band on a regular basis. So maybe the idea of being an artist who will play more instruments, who will think about being somebody who kind of steers the ship but has various shipmates and crew
sure.
members coming in.
Well, let's talk about his sort of shipmates, because I know that Pink Floyd and Soft Machine were really around him at the time, and they lent him financial support, actually, didn't they? After they did a big benefit for him. So what else was going on around that time? What was going on in the landscape of, of the 70s?
Well, in his personal landscape, you had this incredible cast of supporting musicians, as it were. Mm. If you look at the people who are on this record, I mean, it's pretty incredible. Hugh Hopper, Fred Frith playing viola on one track, Gary Window playing bass, clarinet and tenor sax on another track, Richard Sinclair, a young Mike Oldfield playing guitar. Mm. So he's basically pulling together, as I say, a lot of great band leaders and people who have concepts do. He's pulling together exactly the right people to make the right contributions to his music. And there's an art in that itself, you know, choosing the right collaborators.
Of course, absolutely.
Well, and also his wife as well, Alfreda Benger, who she is the voice on a few tracks as well, you know. She helps out with lyrics too, and she also did the artwork for this album.
So there's six songs on this record, and mm-hmm. some have got a more sort of traditional song structure, while others are sort of less defined. They're almost like expressionist pieces, if you will, and they show a great jazz influence. So was he a big jazz fan at this time?
Oh,
was he doing other jazz gigs around it?
You know, I always think of Robert Wyatt as being a kindred spirit to Carla Bley. I cannot dissociate him from Carla Bley. I think they have this real connection in terms of the way that they write songs, their sense of harmony, slightly dissonant, slightly eerie way of writing songs, as I say, combining joy and melancholy. I think Carla Bley is his kindred spirit. Mm. So there's a parallel that you can make with her music. And he worked with her. He also worked with Charlie Hayden. Just to give a bit more biographical information, several years ago I saw him on stage with Charlie Hayden and Carla Bley with the Liberation Music Orchestra. And if you think about what they represented, I mean, they were around in the late 60s, bringing together folk songs as well as avant-garde jazz. You know, this idea of art and populism coming together in their music, I think that was very much part of his aesthetic as well. And you hear it here on this record, but in a very personal way.
Well, tell us about the next track. This is called A Last Straw.
Yeah, A Last Straw is one of those tracks which, again, in terms of the atmospheres that he's able to create, I think is really masterful. Again, if we go back to the maritime image of people diving, of people going down to the depths, then I think you have it in the way that the keyboards are used on this piece, the way that he uses his voice as well. Into the water we'll go, head over heels, ahead behind me, buried deep in the sand. This idea of going down and touching the depths. It's really here as an atmosphere in this music.
Let's hear it. It's from the album Rock Bottom. Robert Wyatt, A Last Straw.
Thank you.
Robert Wyatt with A Last Straw. Well, earlier in the show, Kevin, we heard the song from the 80s, Shipbuilding. Yeah. That's very important, isn't it? Because Robert Wyatt, very politicised as well as everything else we've talked about.
It's about the Falklands War.
Yes, it is, yeah.
It's about loss. It's about needless death. For what? You know, for something which he obviously didn't believe in, the Falklands War. And I think the imagery in that song is very, very important. When he talks about we could be diving for pearls.
Yeah, that's great.
It's an incredible line. And I relate it to this album as well. When you talk about diving and you think, okay, you're going down into the depths and you're getting tangled up in seaweed, which is something that he uses in his lyrics as well. The seaweed, getting tangled up in the seaweed. But I think from those murky depths, there is the pearl that emerges as well. Mm. And that's the ray of hope that you have in Shipbuilding. And you have that sense of hope in this record as well, even though there's a lot of pain here as well.
Mm. It sold better than it was expected, actually, this record, and in much critical acclaim. Was there a lot of anticipation around this release? What was expected of it?
Well, he was already a highly respected figure, and I think people had cottoned on to the fact that he was an original voice. You know, it's just occurred to me, it's such an obvious thing that we overlook it. He's singing in an English accent.
Yes,
he really does. He's not singing in an American accent. Mm. You know, for somebody who comes from a tradition that's very informed by jazz, obviously engaged with American music a lot, as many people who came out of the kind of blues rock jazz explosion in Britain in the 60s and 70s, you'd expect to hear him with a much more overtly American, bluesier voice, but his voice is completely English. It's completely him, and it's very close to his speaking voice. That is, I think, part of his power as an artist, is to really be himself.
And the story that moved me was when he was on Top of the Pops, and the producer said, well, you can't appear on Top of the Pops in your wheelchair. And it's not what people want to see. And he fought that, and he did actually. And he said he lost his rag, but not his wheelchair. And he did go on. And I thought that was fantastic.
How could he not?
Yeah, of course.
You just cannot expect Robert Wyatt giving in to such a ridiculous claim.
But there's been a very, very recently, a book on his life.
Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
By Marcus O'Dare. Mm-hmm. Very, very good book. Really informative. Really captures him as a personality. It is the authorised biography called Different Every Time. And I think for anybody who's already a Robert Wyatt fan, it's worth reading. And for anybody who wants to discover Robert Wyatt, it's definitely worth reading as well. Highly recommended.
So the last track we're about to hear is often referred to as the album's centrepiece. Mm. And it was the last track on side one of the album.
Of the vinyl, yeah.
With Mike Oldfield playing and Mongezi Fezo on the trumpet. And it's really sort of heavy prog, this, isn't it? Is that a right description?
I don't know. to me, it's just an energy burst. I just think of the diver. If we look at the sleeve, you can see this lovely drawing by Alfredo Benga, Robert's wife, of these two divers. And I think of the two of them coming back up. When you hear this track, this is the moment where they come up for air and you hear this fantastic burst of energy. The other thing as well, which occurred to me, is Robert Wyatt himself. He said that he wrote most of the music for this record when he was in Italy. He was in Venice on an island watching lizards on a wall and listening to gondoliers sing
that's always inspiring.
Sing Italian music. And I think, you know, I mentioned that Charlie Hayden before, as you know, Spanish folk music was very important to Charlie Hayden. I kind of think that there's a hint of Mediterranean folk music, kind of Spanish Arabic perhaps influences that you hear on this track in a very, very subtle way. So it's, to me, this is the burst of energy and the kind of light after the dark.
When did you discover his music? Because we were growing up in the 70s, the same age.
Yeah, the first ever Robert Wyatt track I heard was Shipbuilding. And I thought it was incredible. It was so moving. And that voice as well, that very original voice that I'd never heard before.
Do you think many jazz lovers, jazz fans, jazz musicians even, are really aware of Robert Wyatt?
Yeah, I think so. I think the jazz community really respects him because they know that jazz has played a major part in his music, that it's informed a lot of what he does. And he also fulfills the jazz ideal of being himself, of being Robert Wyatt, which, you know, he's not an imitator in any shape or form. You can't get fairer than that.
Absolutely not. Well, from all of us here on Jazz 9, I'm wishing a very happy 70th birthday to Robert Wyatt. This is Little Red Riding Hood, Hit the Road. Robert Wyatt with Little Red Riding Hood hit the road, and that was Kevin Lejeune's choice for Now's the Time. Thanks for that, Kevin. Absolutely brilliant. And for navigating us around that wonderful and important recording. Well, along with Robert Wyatt, we're also marking another significant jazz birthday this month, multi-instrumentalist Tubby Hayes' 80th. You've selected one of your favourite Tubby tracks for us. Tell us why you brought this in and why it's so special.
Dear Johnny B, like Robert Wyatt's Shipbuilding, the first track I ever heard by Tubby Hayes, and it just kind of knocked me sideways.
And it did.
The energy of it, the fluency of the playing, the sheer drive, the momentum of the music, I found really, really good.
Who's Johnny B? I'm desperate to know.
Johnny B was actually Johnny Butts, who was a drummer who Tubby knew very well, who apparently passed away in an accident in Bermuda. So this is actually a dedication to a fallen musician.
And it's from the really well-received and famous album, Mexican Green. Tubby Hayes, 80 this year, and Kevin's choice, Dear Johnny B. Thank you, Kevin.
My pleasure.
Dear Johnny B by Tubby Hayes from the 1967 tour de force that was the album Mexican Green. And my thanks to Kevin for bringing in that track. Let's hear something now from one of Tubby's contemporaries, the late revered Canadian trumpeter Kenny Wheeler. This is from his poignant final album, which has just been released on ECM in time for his 84th birthday. It's got Stan Saltzman on saxophone, John Paricelli on guitar, Chris Lawrence on bass and Martin France playing the drums. And this is the track, The Long Waiting. Take it from the new CD, Songs for Quintet. That was the unmistakable sound of the great Kenny Wheeler from The Long Waiting. The album was recorded in 2013 at Abbey Road Studios and is out now. Well, it's time now for our concert set. The winner of 2014's Parliamentary Jazz Awards for Best Vocalist, Irish-born singer and composer Christine Tobin. She's got a brilliantly versatile voice and easily turns her hand to a broad range of musical styles, always delivering everything she sings with her trademark sound, which has been described by The Guardian as a 24-carat voice. Christine was one of the artists performing on the jazz lineup stage at the Claw Ballroom at last year's London Jazz Festival, and the audience were treated to a mixture of her own originals and some songs chosen from her critically acclaimed album of Leonard Cohen songs called A Thousand Kisses Deep. But we can hear two of her own compositions now. Joining Christine on the stand were Ross Stanley on piano, Phil Robson on guitar, Dave Whitford on bass, and Adriano Adewale on percussion. Here she is with her song Stone Cold.
The wind is blowing hard outside. The storm is on its way. Across the yard, an angry yell to greet the dawn, to greet the day. This dirty town is slipping and drowning. Grips the cheapest thrills. Faith is just a coin we're flipping. We're born and raised, and cynicism kills. I dine at cafes, drink at bars. I'm a fully paid up member of this voting community whose souls are set never and placed upon a shelf that lies somewhere in between. The slow march to oblivion, the fighting red and the walking green. Favorite words of the insane, twitching flames upon a burner. And while this turbulent engine roars, imprisoned in its dance, we understand. We fight, we lick our wounds and swords. We're the marching band in the promised land. Thank you.
Thank you. Ross Stanley on the piano there. And Phil Robson.
Lots of people, none of them he knew by name. From dawn to dusk, across the trail, but they talked to him just the same. Jittering lips, words tall as trees, constant whispers on a gentle breeze. My horse has stood by lots of people, from the corner of an eye, seen pictures wild. Tumbleweed to trailer trash, and kidnapping the sheriff's child. Tears of anger, tears of grief. Hunger makes a man a thief. My horse has plowed the earth alongside the sickle and the spade. He has taken on the harness, worked hard to pull the blade. A struggle shared makes a lighter load. My horse helped many men along that burden road. Ride on, ride on, thank you.
My horse knows about the spirit world. He sees things that we can't see. Can divine what's in a man's soul through his horse-like reverie. Swishing and a swaying reeds across the plain. My horse has seen it all, but he don't hang his head in shame.
Corner of an Eye, written and sung by Christine Tobin. And before that, you heard her other composition, Stone Cold. And that's ending tonight's concert set, recorded at the 2014 London Jazz Festival. For more information on Christine Tobin, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Zero Sum World is the title of a tasteful quintet 11-track studio affair and the second solo release from guitarist and composer Ant Law. A London-based musician since 2008, Law's often challenging and rhythmically shifting compositions are in safe hands with the world-class musicians who join him for this new venture. Michael Chillingworth plays multiple reeds on the album, Tom Farmer is on the bass, James Madron is playing the drums and Ivo Neame is at the piano. Let's hear Ant's own composition, Parallel People.
Thank you.
on the Whirlwind Recordings label. That was the track Parallel People from Antlaw's new release called Zero Sum World. You can hear the band at the Peace Express Club in Soho when they launch the album on February the 16th and 17th. Well, that's almost the end of this week's jazz lineup, but there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Geoffrey Smith's Jazz tonight at midnight, and Jazz on 3 on Monday night with Jez Nelson at 11. And this week, Jez Nelson presents Food, saxophonist Ian Bellamy and drummer Thomas Stronan in concert at the 2014 Emulsion Festival. And on next week's jazz lineup, a concert featuring vocalist of the moment, Belgian songstress Melanie de Biasio. But to sign off with tonight, a final track from the great Tubby Hayes. This is taken from the album Tubbs Tours, and it's Russian Roulette. Till next time from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye.
The Tubby Hayes Big Band with Russian Roulette, ending this week's jazz lineup. The programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade and presented by Claire Martin. And for more information on Jazz Lineup, just go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website. Jazz Lineup will be back next Saturday evening at the usual time of 6 o'clock.
On Friday evening, Live in Concert is in Edinburgh with the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, conducted by Christoph Alsted. They're performing three giants of romantic music, Schumann, Liszt and Wagner. It's a programme with its heart on its sleeve. Wagner's Siegfried Idyll is the most heartfelt of his gifts to his beloved Cosima. Robert Schumann's First Symphony brims with the joy of a newlywed. The flamboyance of Liszt's Second Piano Concerto is a perfect match for the fiery Georgian pianist Katya Bunyatishvili. Join me, Donald MacLeod, and the audience in the Usher Hall, Edinburgh, for an emotionally charged Live in Concert. Friday evening from 7.30, here on BBC Radio 3.
Just gone 7:30 this Saturday night. Time now for this evening's Radio 3 Live in Concert. It's from the Royal Festival Hall in London, and it's introduced by Martin Handley.
Jonathan, thank you very much. Well, this evening we hear one of the greatest operatic composers of all time putting on church vestments. Well, at least that's what the conductor Hans von Bülow said. It's no surprise Verdi's Requiem has an operatic feel to it. It was the dramatic possibilities of the text that delighted him rather than the religious context. So what could be more appropriate than that tonight's performance live in concert is taking place in a concert hall performed by an orchestra, the London Philharmonic, and conductor Vladimir Yurovsky, closely connected with the Glyndebourne Festival. Hello and welcome to the Royal Festival Hall in the South Bank Centre, where the LPO will be joined by the London Philharmonic Choir and the renowned Spanish choir Orfeon Pamplonis, which is celebrating its 150th birthday this year and tonight makes its UK debut. The soloists are Jane Irwin, soprano, a last-minute replacement for Maya Kovalevska, who's unwell, Ildiko Komnosi, mezzo-soprano, Dmitro Popov, tenor, and Nikolai Didienko, bass. But before Verdi's great masterpiece, we've Stravinsky's last major completed score, his Requiem Canticles, a piece Vladimir Yurovsky didn't get to know until recently.
When I heard it coming from under my hands, I was amazed at how much of it sounded like a remake of Verdi Requiem, but with a 12-tone means. And then I also read somewhere that Stravinsky transcribed the Latin text for his Requiem from his personal copy of the Verdi Requiem score. And I always knew that he had a lot of time for Verdi as a composer. And there are almost direct quotes, like the two solo movements, Tuba Mirum and Lacrimosa. There are obvious connotations there with the offstage trumpets. Also the fact that he gives the Lacrimosa melody to a mezzo-soprano. Piece is very short, it's only 15 minutes. I immediately thought then, well, that's what people need to hear when they come to hear Verdi's Requiem.
Requiem Canticles, which the 83-year-old Stravinsky called a pocket requiem, seemed to embrace many of the musical styles of his long career within that short span, together with those pungent harmonies and clear, sharp colours. 9 short sections, all individual and memorable, from the opening prelude for strings and solo string quartet to the haunting instrumental postlude for flutes, horn and percussion. Well, all is ready, and we just await our soloist and conductor. And here they come. Leader of the LPO, Peter Skuban, already on stage with the orchestra and the London Philharmonic Chorus, joined now by mezzo-soprano Ildikó Komlosy and bass Nikolai Bibienko, together with conductor Vladimir Yurovsky, to perform Stravinsky's Requiem Canticles.